During this time, it's more important than ever to support our friends and neighbors in the restaurant industry. Restaurant Workers Community Foundation has set up a national COVID-19 crisis relief fund. The money they raise will provide direct relief to individual restaurant workers, support other nonprofits serving restaurant workers in crisis, and offer zero-interest loans for restaurants to get back up and running. Visit restaurantworkerscf.org to donate today. And if you need a little extra motivation, you can DM your $20 donation to RWCF's co-founder, John DeBerry, on Twitter, and he'll give you directions for making a signature quarantine cocktail. Donate now at restaurantworkerscf.org.
Welcome to Feast Your Ears. I'm Harry Rosenblum, and I love to talk with people about what they do and how it influences their personal food stories. This is a show about people, life, and food. If you're just tuning in for the first time, all the previous episodes of Feast Your Ears can be found in the archives at heritageradionetwork.org and anywhere you get your podcasts. I'm thankful for listeners like you, and I would love it if you'd leave me a review. Today's theme, what can we learn about product development? We're in a weird place in the world. It's March 30th, 2020. The world has been dealing with the coronavirus outbreak for a few months, and many of us are stuck at home, working or not working, attending school, learning new things, but above all, not going out and seeing other people in person to help stem the spread of this vicious virus. I've been at home, being the principal of the home school and working around that schedule. As I go into my fourth week staying in, I'm starting to think about what the other side of this looks like. Not just when I get to see my friends in person again or hug my father, but what things will be the same and what will be different. I've been thinking about the Ray Bradbury story, A Sound of Thunder, in which the present is changed by a small change in the long ago past. This is more of a linear change that we're taking part in, but I think the reality of 2019 compared to the reality of 2021 could be vastly different when we look back from 2030. What is our world going to look like on the other side of this? Which restaurants will survive? Will we see a cultural shift to certain food and beverage? Will we still be a consumer-focused society? What about malls and retail stores? In the midst of all this change, there are consumer products companies that are always developing new products and seeing what sticks in the market. I spoke with Rizal Hamdala, the Chief Global Innovation Officer at Ocean Spray recently. He was born in Indonesia. He's an avid traveler. We covered travel, new products, and our need to have an awareness about how this virus is spreading and how important it is that we remember the people in the third world countries that don't have access to food, sanitation, and social distancing that many of us do. We also talked about tape, a fermented cassava that's common in Indonesia. I'd never heard of it, and now I look forward to finding it and trying it.
So my name is Rizal Hamdala, and you can call me Rizal. I'm the Chief Global Innovation Officer for Ocean Spray, and I joined the company almost a year ago. I moved from Chicago to Boston, so very excited to be part with amazing company like Ocean Spray, to create something that's meaningful and bring a new portfolio to the company as we are moving towards health and wellness. So yeah, that's me. I'm originally from Indonesia, born and raised in Indonesia. I have lived in this country for a pretty good amount of time.
Great. So Ocean Spray is a co-op, is that correct?
Correct.
And how does that work? I've actually interviewed some Ocean Spray farmers in the past. I a number of years ago around Thanksgiving interviewed the Cranmas, the Ocean Spray group of farmers who I guess run kind of a hotline around Thanksgiving and cranberries.
Oh, that's awesome. So yeah, it's pretty much like our company is a private owned company. It's a co-op. Founded in 1930, and Ocean Spray is a vibrant agriculture cooperative owned by more than 700 cranberry farmers.
Cool.
Who have helped preserve the family farming within generations.
Sure.
So that's hopefully helpful to just giving a point of difference compared with other companies probably that exist today.
Sure. So Ocean Spray, I think, is probably most famous for cranberry sauce and cranberry juice. But your job as the head of innovation, what sorts of things are you looking to move Ocean Spray into?
Yeah, so That's totally correct. I mean, when you hear the word ocean spray, I'm sure people will resonate directly with cranberries as well as with cranberry juice.
Right.
So as we all know that we always use cranberry at the center, now we're shifting more into consumer at the center with using cranberries towards that. So with that, we are very clear about our transformation that publicly we have been communicating this in the past 18 months, I believe. We are moving from a juice company into a health and wellness company. Mm. And health and wellness, why it's important? Because there's a lot of goodness within cranberries as well. So, and all this goodness of cranberries can help consumer and people to see the impact from health, physical health perspective, but also most importantly, wellness perspective. So it's pretty much the loop, physical and mental health. So because of that, the portfolio that we are continuously building in the past year or so is really focused in driving this new health and wellness direction. And we are excited with some of the stuff that we already launched to market. For example, Atoka is the new brand and product line that we launched with using herbal as our core proposition. So it's all natural, organic, and also herbal, which I think is very unique. And also we launched Blue, which is a combination of cranberry juice with cold brew coffee to bring the best of the both worlds together. And it tastes so, so good. And this is just an example to show it that we try to modernize our portfolio in driving towards health and wellness.
Sure. No, I mean, it sounds like a good position to be in. You know, I also, you know, one of the things I remember speaking with the Cranmas about was that most people think about eating cranberries around Thanksgiving in the United States. You know, but obviously that's not the only, I mean, you know, the company can't survive and farmers certainly can't survive if people are only using the product one day a year.
Exactly. So the sauce is one of the necessities for what's seasonal, like Thanksgiving, for example. So just stay tuned. We have more news on the sauce.
Sure.
Which is very exciting. And yeah, a lot of consumers, you know, see it or try it as a test during our research. They were like, wow, I never expect this is coming from ocean spray. So very exciting.
Sure. Does your personal history of growing up in Indonesia play into any of the new products?
Very interesting question. I appreciate that. I think born and raised in Indonesia with a lot of Eastern values and a lot of home remedies, it helps. And then I went to my master's is engineering at Northwestern University. So this is kind of the beauty of art and science, if you will. So it's helping me to help from the direction where we're going. And when I said that, it means like the what, but also most importantly, the how. How are we going to get there? Because my role, as I call myself Sherpa, is not only to just, you know, telling the company, the public, and telling our people this is where our direction and we're going there, but also help them and help everyone. How are we going to get there? And be part of the journey and hands-on with the journey. I think that separates myself compared with a lot of other head of innovation. And I think that part, which is the Indonesia part, play a role because, you know, came from third world countries, the idea behind creation, the idea behind make things happen, is very well built, and you know, like the hard work, the effort. So it's just ingrained in my personality. So I think that helps a lot for this role, and helps a lot hopefully for the company as well.
Sure. Flavor profile wise, in Indonesian food, is there anything like the cranberry? I mean, I know obviously it's a very different climate, but.
I mean, we actually, it's funny because I don't think cranberry is a common fruit in Indonesia or even in Southeast Asia. But we've seen some distribution in Southeast Asia, actually even promotions where, which is showing that we are very strong globally on cranberry presence. Hmm. But to your questions about flavor, I think there are some local Southeast Asian fruits that have the tartness. Maybe not the same as cranberry, but the impact to the consumer is probably the same.
Right.
But yet, I think that just shows how diverse our world is, right? So it's just beautiful that there are so many different types of fruits among different continents, which I think what's unique about cranberry is that I think it's something that we all know and publicly very well known is all the health benefits with it.
Yep.
And I think that's something that that would be unique for the U.S. market, because cranberries is one of the superfruits that's grown and from this continent, and I think that's very unique for itself.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm interested to know, you know, do you think that the marketplace for the kinds of products that Ocean Spray is creating, not just obviously juice, but as you said, you're moving into things that are more herbal, moving into a product that includes cold brew coffee, is that marketplace going to be affected by the coronavirus outbreak that we're currently all living in?
I think in general, COVID-19 has a big impact to all of us.
Yeah.
Whether from personal or even industry. So to your answer, yes. A little fortunate for food and beverage industry, we have been seeing a lot of positive spike from consumer, because it's part of necessities. And our company, our innovation, our product, it's within the affordability, if you will. Mm. You know, the pricing that we have is not something that's high or expensive. So it's still within that range. And second, you know, with the benefits of the product that we offer, now the idea behind a better product, safe product, high quality product, and then I know that when I drink it or eat it, I can feel or kind of feel the impact from it. This is becoming more important, because I think a lot of other industries that are unfortunate compared with us, consumers are changing their behavior very quickly. So we're lucky with food and beverage that it's actually the behavior is becoming more important for them. They're more pickier than before. They're more aware about nutrition and health than before, because of the explosion of information from social media, digital, you name it. So we educate ourselves, even me, like I have no idea a lot about viruses until this past 3 weeks, right? I learned a lot, like, wow, you know, and now I'm like more alert. Oh my God, I'm breathing with thousands of different viruses around me, right? So this kind of thing is new, but yet also help in crafting the way of consumers thinking. I'm very intrigued to know what coronavirus or COVID-19 will take us later on in the journey. So now it's very early.
Yep.
The next 3 months still early. I'm actually interested to know next year how this will change consumer from so many different aspects.
Yeah, I mean, that's
this
a great segue.
Actually, it's funny. Hey, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, it's a good segue into my next question, which is you are an avid traveler. I was looking at your Instagram, and in the last year, I mean, it looks like you were in Jordan, you were in Singapore, you've been in London, and you've been in Thailand. And so as an avid traveler, how do you feel about this? And are you nervous about getting on a plane again?
Yeah, I feel trapped, being very honest with you. I mean, like, I cannot even leave my place or I have to think twice to leave our place, right? It's just hard. And especially for, I will call myself a global citizen because my family is around the world. And it's even harder because you don't even know when you're going to see them. You don't even know where you can see other places that you already have in your bucket list.
Yep.
And so it's hard. And I think, I don't know. I have two hypotheses about this. One hypothesis will be I will change. Suddenly, I become the new Rizal on traveling, which is no longer probably avid in terms of physically somewhere. Maybe I will find a different way of doing it. Or second, there'll be a point, the extreme, that people will choose a different type of lifestyle.
Right.
And yeah. I don't know when or how that happened.
Right, right. And I don't know that it's something that will turn on or off like a switch. Right. I mean, I split my time, or before all of this, I split my time between New York City and Rhode Island. My kids live in Rhode Island, and my wife and I split our time back and forth. And I'm currently in Rhode Island, and I've been here now since the 9th of March. I came back up to Rhode Island. You know, I'm glad to have a place outside of New York City where I can be right now, especially, but I don't know what the future holds. I don't know if I am going to continue to live a life where I'm going back and forth to the city, or will I base my life more here in Rhode Island, where, you know, I mean, I'm not a deep kind of prepper, but, you know, we have a little bit of land. And so yesterday we were talking about planting a garden and kind of, you know, doing more things that we have access to here. And I'm not sitting in my apartment in Brooklyn. So hard to say.
Wow. It's funny because I live in downtown Boston and then in a condominium, mid-rise building, and surrounded by like apartments.
Yeah.
And you can see your neighbor. You can see each other. And I was wondering, like, looking at families and couples in a small one-bedroom size, and that's the only place they have.
Yeah.
And I heard directly from some of my friends and saying, well, my wife is taking a call in the living room and I'm taking the call in the bathroom because we don't have any other space.
Yeah.
You know, we live in a studio because it's so expensive, New York City or Boston.
Right.
And I was like, oh, my God. And how long they can survive? I don't know. And I feel like, you know, this is the type of reality that we're dealing today. And I see a lot of different approaches or helps that happen in social media to entertain people, to keep that separation feels better for a lot of different households.
Yep.
And you know, it's you and I facing the same way, right? So,
yeah. Do you have any thoughts? I mean, as someone who considers himself a global citizen and also with family all over the world that I assume you're in contact with during this pandemic, is there anything that you are hearing from family in other countries that those countries or families are doing related to the coronavirus that you think we should be doing here in the United States?
Well, I think I'm having different point of view on that one, and I will share with you now.
Sure.
One is for the third world countries, like developing countries, the population of low-income consumer are way bigger than the United States.
Right.
When I said low-income consumer, people that live within $1 a day,
right.
It's probably like 60 to 70%. And with that, their level of education about hygiene is so different with other countries.
Right.
That's one problem. And then second, their income is daily income.
Right.
So whether they're, you know, riding a motorbike and giving a ride and you will get an income, or selling vegetables on the street and whatsoever, right? So this thing actually makes them to choose. Should I choose my health or should I choose my family to provide them food?
Sure.
Because if I don't make money today, my family cannot have food. So this is a reality that is very sad, watching what happened in the globe, especially almost 70% of our population in the world is low-income consumer. So this is the reality, one. Second, I think different type of government. I mean, like, for the government that is very, strong in terms of power in making people stay at home, seems to be effective.
Yeah.
Like, I know that some countries already sent military personnel to different neighborhoods. Literally, I just got a photo from my sister, like, look at in front of my house. There's a big, huge tank.
Wow.
Literally, like, boost everybody. I'm watching this photo this morning. I'm like, oh my God. And this is like already secure space. And then I even cannot take photo. I got yelled by security people. But that's kind of the government that's really doing it, like, because they have to push it, you know, because the culture is not really following rules and whatsoever. I think not taking that as an example to the extreme, but I think a lot of people in this country hopefully realizing more and more about the importance of physical distancing and also stay home, because this is moved pretty fast. Look at New York City. Now it's like on half of the coronavirus pandemic in the U.S. It's come from New York City, right? So that itself is required. I think discipline is critical. And I know that we own our lives. We have to write for ourselves. This is kind of the mentality that we have here. But in the same time, we also need to care about other people. Maybe we're healthy, but what we bring may actually not good for other people and have a bad impact on other people. So that empathy probably needs to be more and more, and use this opportunity to be real human, to be back to human. You know, like, this is a very painful moment for all of us in the whole world, but let's go back to humanity, because throughout this hard time, I'm sure we can hold hands together virtually, and we can really like find a way to help each other from different angle. I mean, my spouse working in the hospital and he's responsible directly for COVID-19 patients every day in ICU. So like the simple, mental support, or even some states need some help for clothing, equipment and stuff. Any help and support at this point, I think, show that how strong we are as human and community. I think that's more important than anything else.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for that perspective.
Restaurants employ over 15 million people nationwide, and two-thirds of all restaurants are independently owned and not part of big chains. Yet currently, these small businesses are not represented in government relief negotiations. Roar is working to change that by fighting for relief opportunities for all restaurants. Roar is advocating for an 8-point plan in New York State that will allow restaurants to reopen and rehire when the time comes. Dozens of industry leaders have signed on to the plan, like Nam Wa Tea Parlor, Field Trip, Momofuku, and many more of your favorites. You can join them at change.org by searching for Roar, Relief Opportunities for All Restaurants.
I'm sorry. I'm very, very passionate about this.
No, absolutely. I mean, and I think it's important to remember, and I really appreciate the fact that you brought up the fact that there are so many low-income people all over the world, and especially in other countries. And I look at, you know, what just was announced yesterday in India, that the entire country is to shut down for 3 weeks. And I mean, they have an enormous population of people who, you know, what does that mean for people, you know, who, as you point out, live on a dollar a day or less, and it's day work. And so if they don't have money, then they don't have food. And then you're relying on a government to hope potentially provide that. But in a, you know, in a lot of countries where, you know, I mean, I think our government isn't functional, but I mean, if you look at other countries, sometimes it's even worse. And certainly they don't have access to providing services to people. So I think it's a, you know, it is very difficult. But you know, we kind of have to keep people home. And then we have our leadership in this country saying, well, you know, we need the economic drivers here, which is not about humanity, right? The Wall Street is not humanity.
Yeah. So that's why I think we have all this effort from a lot of companies, and Ocean Space included. For example, we just released 100,000 meals to distribute this in different states. It's probably nothing compared to the needs that are actually there, but we will continue doing it and encourage other industry and other companies to do so as well, because there's a lot of, even within U.S., there's a lot of help needed. So I think this morning, I just had a conversation with one of the head of Insights. Like, we're hoping that what's changed between today and 2008. So today, throughout this past 20 years, hopefully people become more people. Their heart and emotional intelligence is becoming stronger. Because in this time of situation, we are testing. We are tested. Can we pass this? And then that's why I think the company needs to be very authentic and also doing what's right for their people and for the community. And to that, this is one of the big principles of Ocean Spray. And I'm not saying it just because I'm authentic, not at all. And you probably can hear from my voice directly. This is so core for me and for the rest of our leadership and also for our growers and farmers, because this is important. Our people is number one, business is number two. So flipping that conversation had happened in our organization in the past 3 weeks. And we were thrilled about that statement. We actually live it. So I'm encouraging everyone that hears this conversation to continue doing it, because in the end, our people is more important than anything else. You know, it's just core to our humanity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I want to talk, I want to turn to food again. And I want to know, what do you cook at home? You mentioned in the questions that I sent you before, that you need to have a gas stove, which I appreciate. I agree with you. The least favorite thing about where I am in Rhode Island is that I have an electric stove, sadly. I want to do you cook things from all over the world? Do you cook a lot of Indonesian food? What do you cook?
So I cook every day before all this happened, every night. And then now I'm cooking more often. So I cook. So basically the way I'm cooking is pretty simple. One is I have to have protein. So split mainly. We don't really eat red meat. We are mostly chicken or fish. And then we are using different type of sauces and different type of options for carb, whether it's rice, if you want rice, but we don't really use a lot as much as we did before. We use a lot of cauliflower rice. We use a lot of different type of pasta that's more healthier. And then I cook different things. I mean, kitchen for me is like my own lab. So sometimes, I have inspiration like 10 minutes before, and basically I can use almost anything that I have in my kitchen. So normally I'm going to make Italian or Asian food or Indonesian food, and see where that level of, for example, like last night, suddenly we really want something spicy. So then I just made chicken curry soup with noodle with a codfish on top, you know? So that's like, I was like, oh my God, I never done this before. But then when we ate it, I was like, oh, this is tasty. So it just pushed your creativity this time, because you don't really have anything else to do, right? So, and or using Ocean Spray sauce. Like, I never done it before, but I start creating like curry sauce with using, Ocean Spray cranberry sauce. And I was like, wow, I don't know whether curry can be sweet. You know, like I'm trying to identify that balance, but it actually tastes good. The color is a more purplish than actually yellow color because of the sauce itself. So it's very interesting how creative we could be in this time, but I'm pretty much cook almost everything based on inspiration that I got before I'm cooking.
Got it. Can you tell me about tapé?
T-A-P-E, yeah.
So tell me about that.
Have you tried it before?
I have not. I do a ton of fermentation.
It's like a...
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's like cassava. It's like cassava,
sure.
But it's fermented. The taste is a little sweet through the fermentation.
Yep.
Soft, but you can sense a little alcohol in it.
Sure.
I suspect there was alcohol, but I don't know whether that's actually alcohol, you know, but it's very healthy. This is another Indonesian, remedies that thinking fermentation is one of the best ways to bring that goodness from the food. So it's very easy. I think it requires fermentation between 1 to 3 days. It depends on how soft you want to have. And then you serve it. Sometimes you can serve it just like that. You can see the white color on top of the cassava, and that's okay. You know, people probably were like, oh, there is a white stick around it. That's just part of the fermentation.
Sure.
Or you dip it into a type of sauce. which is made mostly with tapioca flour, oil, and then some salt and pepper, and cut of red chili. So that creates this balance of sweet and sour, because the cassava or the tape itself is already a little sweet.
Got it. And do you ferment that yourself?
No, I mean, here I don't, but at home, my family know how to do it well, so I'm just leveraging the resources at home.
Sure. And so where do you get it if you wanted to have it in Boston? Can you buy it?
So I haven't get anything yet in Boston. When I was in Chicago, there are some Indonesian community actually do it in their home. It's like they sell it within the community, so I was able to get some of them.
So it's sort of like underground.
Yes. Exciting though.
Very cool. Yeah, I've been reading about it since you sent me the questionnaire, and it's not, I do a lot of different fermentation. It's not one that I've ever come across. I'm very curious. I do have some, it looks like you can use Korean Nuruk starter, which I do have some Korean starter culture. So I'm interested
to
try to make it. I don't know where I'm going to find, I have to see where I can find cassava. That's the other thing, right? In Rhode Island. But
I think you can find it in some of Asian stores.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
I mean, in Boston, they have some of them. I've seen it. Make sure that, the color is like brown from the outside, like dark brown. And then, you can just cut it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to have to, I'll have to try it. I'll let you know. And Boston's not that far from Rhode Island. If I make some, I'll have to figure out how to get you some.
Yes, please.
Great. Well, it's been a real pleasure to chat with you. Do you have any other projects going on that you want to bring up? Anything coming up? I think, people will keep an eye out for those new Ocean Spray products, certainly coming later this year.
Yeah.
People feel comfortable going back out, of course.
If you guys like go to some of the customers or stores, try to find the brew. That's the product that's already almost nationwide available. Very, very tasty, yet also low sugar and providing a lot of good energy, which is only like a half of coffee, cup of coffee within one glass of the juice. It's so tasty. It's just like distributed probably around 6 to 8 weeks ago. And then Atoka is also the one that I mentioned about herbal. But we have some innovation coming up in the next few months. Just stay tuned. It's very exciting and very focused on health and wellness. The other one that I will actually share with you and everyone is we are in the middle of testing now. If you guys go to Indiegogo, take a look at the brand called Dadley. It's our new disruptive innovation, which is try to disrupt sun care. So now you can have sun care products that you can eat, a protection for your skin that is super unexpected. So it's very disruptive. The name of the brand is Dadley. The products are gummies and also shots. So take a look. I think it's going to be end the campaign next week or so. Then we will ship the product to you. So now we are doing the testing in Austin as well. And this is something that the team did very well within 5 months and really disrupting the sun care industry. So now why not? Why beauty have to be topical? Why beauty have to be outside? Why not? Beauty comes from within. So,
Very interesting.
Yeah. Please make sure you take a look at the website. It's really cool.
Yeah, neat. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Rizal, for taking the time. And, I hope that you and your family are, safe and healthy in this bizarre time of, self-isolation that we're all in.
Yes, you too. And everybody else too. Please stay healthy and be safe, okay?
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Feast Your Ears today. You can find out more and follow Rizal at About Rizal on Instagram and look for his mark on Ocean Spray's new products. You can find Feast Your Ears as well as lots of other great shows at heritageradionetwork.org, on iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Please reach out if you have any questions. You can find me on email, harry@thebrooklynkitchen.com, and you can follow me on Instagram @thefoodballer. Talk to you next week. Stay safe. Wash your hands. Feast Your Ears is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter, @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.